All right, we are going to be reading from Joshua 24 this morning. Joshua 24, verses 1 through 3, and then 14 through 25. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, the leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac." Verse 14. "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oof, don't you just love to be called out there? I seem to remember probably times growing up when I'm sure my mom called me out on some things. I can remember several times when Katie called me out on some things. I distinctly remember one time, I can't remember the exact circumstances, but Katie, you said, "Paul, you're gonna have to pick it up a little bit. I'm gonna need to trust you on some things." And boy, my ears perked up there. I thought, I need to get with it. Joshua here this morning is calling out the people a little bit. And don't you hate it when Joshua says there, you're going to be witnesses against yourself. I heard what you said. Don't you just hate it when people bring up what you said back to you sometimes? In our text this morning, we see that Joshua has gathered the Israelites together. They are on the doorstep of fulfilling what they set out so long ago from Egypt. They have made it to the promised land. They have conquered most of the promised land, and Joshua is actually about to send them on their way to go live in their new home, among the land of the promised land. They are there, and they're about to embark on a new thing. They're about to experience a change in their life. And so Joshua's brought them together one final time before, in fact, Joshua leaves them as well. And at this point, they're together, and so there we read in verse 2 and 3, Joshua is reminding them and speaking on behalf of God, saying, remember, long ago, God called Abraham. And He called Abraham out from where he was living to come into a new land, the land of Canaan. And we here today are the result of God calling Abraham out from a foreign land and out from worshiping foreign gods and have brought us to this point we are here today. And, you know, we skipped ahead there. We read to verse 3, and we skipped all the way to 14. But if you were to go back and read all those verses in between, what you would find is a list from when God called out Abraham all the way to where the Israelites are now, this list of God faithfully walking with them. Joshua reminds them that it was God who gave this old man, I'm going to go ahead and say it, this old man Abraham, a child when there was no way it could happen. It was God who separated the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to walk through. It was God who helped conquer the Promised Land. In fact, I love verse 13 there, which says, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." In other words, Joshua is reminding them, hey, you are here based on God's undeserved goodness to you. And I think his point, and so much of the Old Testament brings up this point, is remember. Remember. Remember who you are. Remember what story you're a part of. Remember Abraham, and remember that his story is your story. And if you remember, God didn't just call Abraham to leave just some land in general, but in the Bible, God calls Abraham to leave the land of Babel, or the land of Babylon, as it would be later to know. And if you remember in the biblical story, Babylon and Babel is the culmination. In chapter 11 of Genesis, chapter 11 is the culmination of the fall of humanity. And it's the result of humanity creating this society or this world system apart from God. It's elevating what people say is right and wrong, what people say is good or evil. It's people choosing to find their identity and their security in worldly things, in status and in wealth and in anything and everything apart from God. And it's from that place in chapter 11 that in chapter 12 of Genesis, we see God call Abraham out from that. Separate him and say, no, you have been called out from that place. Joshua is telling the people to remember that you are a called out people, brought to where you are now simply by God's grace. God is the creator of a world that's been estranged to him, who speaks to this old man Abraham and tells him that through him, this world that doesn't know me is going to come to know me once again. Come to know its maker once again. And so I want to ask you all this morning, do you believe that there are those in this world that are still estranged from their maker? I know the answer to that question. It's one of those pastor questions. Absolutely. But do you also believe that God is still in the business of calling out to people again? That God is still in the business of speaking and calling people? Do you believe that God might want to use us here at Brush Hill to partner with us to carry on this mission of calling people out from the world once again? The other night, the elders got together with some ministry friends of mine, and in this meeting, we began this meeting by talking about how we got here, to Brush Hill. And it was really fun. I got to hear stories of the Holy Spirit directly leading people here. I mean, saying, this is the place you need to go. I heard stories of people choosing, maybe seemingly by chance, maybe just showing up to Brush Hill because it was the closest church in the neighborhood. But when they got here, it was like they couldn't leave. There was something about the spirit and the love of the people here. There are stories of people responding to maybe simple invitations. Who knew a simple invitation years ago would lead to 60, 70 years investing in this place? The Spirit moves in a lot of different ways, in grand ways sending people, but sometimes the Spirit moves in a simple invitation and our response to that invitation. I thought about my own call to serve in ministry, how I said yes to going on a mission trip, thinking this will be a fun week of my life, and not knowing that that one week would change everything. Not knowing that a simple few words of someone I just barely met to say, I think you need to consider ministry, would make it seem like God spoke directly to me through that person. It made me think about how God still calls people today out from Babylon's, and how he still calls ordinary Abrahams and Sarahs like you and me to take part in something more. I believe there's times in life when we need to be reminded that God is a God who calls us out from where we've been and into something new and into a new place to go. The Israelites, they're about to do this. And so Joshua has gathered them together, and he says there, as we read in verse 14, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your old gods that your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." And then, of course, he goes on to that very famous passage that maybe some of us have up in our homes. I know it was up in the manse for a long time. "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua here is telling the people, and I'm saying to us this morning, we have to choose where our loyalty lies. We have to make a choice about how we're going to live and how we're going to operate and be in this world. We have to decide as individuals and as a family, who will we serve? Who will we trust in? Who will we love and be dedicated to? See, there, I think there's times in life and there's times and places in life when we experience shifts, when we experience big, major things that have happened to us or that we're going through. Maybe this year for us, COVID has certainly been one of those that has invited us or caused us to go into a new season. Maybe it's a new job that we're undertaking. Maybe it's a relationship that ends or a relationship that maybe begins. And in those times of transition, in those times when we find ourselves in a new place, like we read here in this passage, we need to gather ourselves, so to speak, before God and rededicate ourselves to our path. And this is kind of scary sometimes, isn't it? I think sometimes we fear what we might lose if we do this. We have to get rid of those old gods. We have to let go of some things that maybe served us well in the past, but maybe they're not a part of our future. It's scary because maybe the future is a little cloudy. We don't always know what it looks like. I certainly get scared of that sometimes. And maybe this morning, if you are experiencing one of those times of shift and change, maybe you're in a season of upheaval in your life, and maybe you're questioning what the future might look like. Maybe, like Joshua, we all need to take some time and strain and listen to the voice of God calling us back to Him. Joshua doesn't want them to forget that they are a called out people that God is still working on. And so as we look at this passage, as we look here this morning, we need to look at what Joshua says, how he has called us out into this new future. And the people, they actually respond really well, don't they? They respond and say, "You know what? We're going to do it. We're going to follow you. We, our household, we're going to serve the Lord just as Joshua says he will." But boy, Joshua sure is skeptical, isn't he? He knows that a lot of times our actions speak louder than words. And this people's actions, you know, it wasn't just but a few generations ago that these were the people that were partying at the foot of Mount Sinai without God and wanting to go back to Egypt. And if we were to peek ahead into the book of Judges, we would see that they don't last long before they turn away from God once again. And the people have been on this journey, and they finally got to this promised land, but Joshua knows that even though they've been on this journey, they still have a long way to go, because God is calling them, not just to leave a certain place and go to a new place. He's calling them to have a renewed heart and a renewed relationship with God. It's why in verse 2 he says that God didn't just call Abraham out of a certain place. He called him to let go of his old gods and to take up a new relationship with God. It's why in verses 14 and 15 Joshua says it's time for y'all to put away the things that you were serving and living by, and it's time to serve only the Lord. In other words, we need to remember that God is calling us to have a renewed heart and a renewed relationship with God. That we, this day, have to choose to place our trust for our security not in our 401k or not in our bank account, but in God's promise of daily manna. That we can choose this day to fret and worry that the world is ruled by chaos, that we don't know what's going on, or we can choose to trust that God is indeed in control. That we can choose this day to find our worth and our significance in worldly things, worldly achievements and salary numbers, or in what people think about us and opinions of us. Or we can place our trust in finding it in God's faithfulness to us and our faithfulness to God. As a church, that's the marker of what our success must be. Our faithfulness, not necessarily our greatness. We can choose this day to find our worth in trying to impress and convince and earn it from others, or we can choose it in trusting that we are loved by God. We can choose this day to undertake this calling to be used by God, or we can choose this day to rest comfortably and wait till He returns again. My friends, I think God has called us to be transformed on our deepest, most fundamental levels of our hearts so that we can truly experience the love of God. What is it that we are placing our trust in? What is it that we are believing? What lies are we believing that the world has placed in our lives that we need to let go of this morning? God desires all of us. When Joshua says to the people, hey, you can't serve the Lord, do you know that the Lord is jealous? Do you know that the Lord is holy? He's saying, look, you cannot keep one foot in both camps. You can't do it. God desires all of us. God desires our complete and total trust. God desires that we let it all go and lean on Him. It reminds me one time of when I went rappelling. I don't know if any of y'all have been rappelling before. I went when I was a kid. I think I went with my dad and one of my best friends. And when you go rappelling, one of the scariest things you do when you lean back over that cliff is the instructor tells you, now you can't walk down the cliff and look down. That's what the temptation is. You want to see what you're going. You want to see where you put your feet. But no, he says, if you do that, it runs so much more of a risk. That what you have to do is really lean back over that cliff and trust your equipment and trust the instructor as well. Don't forget that as well. Trust your equipment and trust that instructor. Joshua is saying to those people right now, look, you can try to take these steps, but God is really calling you to lean back out over that cliff and trust that your instructor, trust that your equipment, trust that God is who He says He is. That God is the one that if you place your trust in Him, He's going to come through. That the God who led the people through and out of Egypt is going to be the same one today and tomorrow. Are we willing to lean out over and place our trust in God's Word? Like it's that rope that's keeping us anchored to life. The Israelites in our passage said all the right things, but as Joshua feared, they were mostly just words. And in fact, the story of most of the Hebrew Bible, most of the Old Testament, is of a people struggling to place their trust fully in God. We read that they turned away again and again, and yet, maybe that's your story this morning. Maybe you have been someone that has struggled and has turned away again and again. I know it is my struggle sometimes and part of my story. But the hope I see in this passage, it lies in how Joshua made this covenant with them, how he brought them together, and he made this covenant with the people before God to obey Him. And it reminds me that our God is a covenant maker, a promise keeper, and His nature is faithfulness. Because though the Israelites struggled to leave the world's ways, though they struggled to come out of the world, you know what God does? He says, you know what, if you're not going to come out fully, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you in Jesus. And the Bible keeps pointing to this coming King who would come to do what Israel and what you and I can't do. And so in the New Testament, we read and we receive the word of how God doesn't give up on us. How God keeps calling out to us. We read how just as God called Abraham and sent him out of the world of Babylon, God sends Jesus into the world to rescue us, to bring Babylon out of our hearts, so that we might be replaced by that faithful love of Jesus. And here's the amazing thing about it is that Jesus, y'all, is calling us to this great challenge of following Him. This great challenge of coming out of the world, this great challenge of recognizing that God is still the same jealous and holy God he was before. It's why when he calls the disciples, he tells them to follow him and leave everything behind. It's why when the crowds disappear in John chapter 6, after Jesus delivers a tough teaching, the disciples say, "Where should we go? You have it all, Jesus." Jesus chastises the disciples for arguing about greatness. He gets on to them for having little faith. He gets on to them for trying to keep the kids away from him. He gets on to them for marveling at the greatness of these beautiful religious buildings and missing the hollow faith that's within them. He gets on to them for all the different ways in which they refuse to let go of the worldly parts of their life. He calls one man to give away his possessions, all his possessions. He calls Peter to walk on water. He tells the disciples to take up their crosses. Sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it's hard to follow Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to want to go out and to do these things he calls us to. And I wonder sometimes, how are we able to do this? How are we to undertake this call? How are we able, Lord, to live into this jealous and holy and set-apart life from us? And I want to remind us all this morning that even though Jesus calls us and challenges us to choose this day and every day to serve the Lord, he doesn't call us into something that he hasn't gone before us to do. That the beautiful thing about our faith is we don't worship a God who demands things on us, but who leaves us there on the sidelines, but that Jesus came to this life and lived and fulfilled the story of Israel. And he fulfilled our story, that he gave everything for us, that he taught us and showed us how to choose every day to serve the Lord, to let go of the world, to not get settled in and to not forget that we are a called out people, that we have been blessed to go be a blessing, that we have been saved that we might go announce salvation. And so this morning, I don't want us as a church to forget our calling. Because just as God chose Abraham, not because of his righteousness or his skill or his faith, but because of God's love, just as God liberated the people of Egypt before making a covenant with them, God has given us grace through Jesus to fulfill our calling. God has given us grace through Jesus to fulfill our calling. And it's this grace that compels us forward. That as Jesus challenges us and calls us, he also says, "I'm not going to call you into any place I'm not going to walk with you in. You're not going to go through any situation in life that I'm not going to be present there with you. I'm not going to demand that you leave anything behind without providing a way for you to be taken care of." My friends, let us remember this morning that as Jesus calls us, we need to hear that call and respond. But we also need to know that Jesus reminds us and tells us that we are loved no matter what. That we are loved no matter what. Will you take up the call this morning? What is it that Jesus is calling you to leave behind? What are the things that maybe you've been placing your trust in? What are the ways in which you have maybe been trying to be God in some senses that Jesus is saying, you've got to leave it behind? It's not a part of our future anymore. As we think about Brush Hill, as we think about our church, what makes our church so wonderful in our eyes? What are the things that brought us here in the first place that we want to hang on to? That love, that family, that dedication to one another, that we want to hang on to? And what are the things that God is saying, rejoice in the things that have got you here, but maybe it's time to let those go as well so that we can walk into our new future. My hope this morning is that this passage would remind us of God's mission of creating people who are called out from the world to go back into the world that we've left and call out more people. To leave behind the idols of our hearts and to embrace the God who loves us no matter what. The one who's calling us to trust him and live for him day by day by day. That we would look and see our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers, introduce them to the God who loves them day by day. Will you join me in that calling this morning? Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your word to us. Lord, we recognize that in so many ways, Lord, you have extended to us a mission that seems beyond us. Lord, that as we go in this life, sometimes it's frightening to hear your call that you've placed on our life. Lord, we worry about what it might mean to leave behind some things. Lord, to take that plunge over the cliff and to just completely and totally trust you. We worry, Lord, that what it might look like if you're calling us to something that seems impossible. And yet we are so thankful for your word to us, and we're so thankful for Jesus our Lord. That God, when we're weak, Lord, when we don't trust you, that we're reminded of the gift we have in Christ. That he loves us perfectly and completely. That as we have wandered and gone astray, Jesus calls us back to you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. God, help us to live each day with a sense of the kind of people that you want us to be. That you want us to live each day with a sense of calling out and reaching out to our neighbors and our friends and the people in our lives and introduce them to the God who loves them, who knows them, and who wants them to not live by the world's standards, but to come to know the perfect peace and love that you offer them. Lord, we thank you for the love of Jesus. We thank you for the challenge of Jesus. And Lord, may we live into both of those things here at Brush Hill this morning. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. My friends, as we get ready to sing one final time, I want to invite you, if you'd like to come forward and if you need some time to just be with God and say, God, I have been feeling pretty complacent recently. Lord, I have been feeling like you're calling me to more, and I've been resisting that. I pray maybe that you'll come down and ask God for help, that you'd ask God to renew that sense of calling on your life, to come to know him, to let go of the idols of your heart, to let go of the things that you've been clinging to, and ask God to let his spirit come and lead you into that new future. Or maybe if there's something else that's been going on this morning, if you found yourself worried, if you found yourself far away, maybe you just need this time to worship or pray. I invite you to be faithful to the Lord in this time.